This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All-Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball, he's trying to advance. Here's the throw to third, to tag, and he is out.
Oh no, Xander, no.
Base running mistake by Xander Bogaerts with a ground ball to left side. Cora thinking about challenging.
Big mistake here. You're in scoring position. The ball is in front of you. You know the shortstop's going to go to third base. You can't go. It's got to be either directly at you or to your left. So a big base running mistake there by Bogaerts.
So that old saying, just when you thought it was safe to get back in the water, right? Murray knew. Murray wasn't going to go near the beach. He knew. He knew there was a shark lurking. Red Sox had won 5 in a row. Philadelphia Phillies come into town. People start asking the question, are the Red Sox turning a corner? And then they do that. They do that, Murray. How'd you like the ending of that game last night?
Oh, so very predictable. There is, they are, that anytime a decent team comes to town or they got to face, you know, stiff competition, the Phillies are that, they're in competition for that second wild card spot in the National League. It's like their minds melt. You see Xander Bogaerts become a complete puddle in the base paths. And as much as I love him, and he's been one of the actual bright spots for this team this year, he is reckless when he is on the base paths. It's as bad as Benintendi at times.
And I'll tell you what, the funny thing is I actually think he's a good base runner. That's the scary part. But the mistakes this team makes, holy crap. So here's where we're going to start tonight. 617-779-0985. You want to call in and talk Red Sox. Now is your chance. I want to play a little game tonight, and I'm being serious. Why I hate the 2019 Red Sox. Why I hate the 2019 Red Sox. And last night, when I really weigh it all out, last night might be at the top of the list, and I'll tell you why. There's a difference between underperformance, between guys having bad years, and ineptitude, and downright stupidity. Boy, is there a huge difference in those two things. So, for example, Chris Sale, that's underperformance. You want to say he wasn't motivated. You want to say he got a contract. You want to say the team took a half-assed approach, and those are controllable variables. Sure. Also, though, there is something to be said for the fact that last year everything went right for the Red Sox. This year, everything didn't necessarily go right, but there's a variable in there. Sometimes it just doesn't work. In fact, most times it doesn't work like it's supposed to. But stupidity, ineptitude, those are completely different things. Completely, altogether different things. When a runner, a base runner, who leads off the ninth in a 3-2 game, for those of you that didn't see it, Red Sox are down 3-2 entering the ninth. Bogaerts leads off with a double. He's on second base with J.D. Martinez at the plate. And on a grounder to the left side, the ball in front of him, Bogaerts tries to advance. He gets thrown out. Martinez gets pinch run for. Line drive, double play, game over. Just like that. Just like that it ended. And those kinds of plays are the ones that should drive you batty, and boy, have the Red Sox had their share of those. So first, before I get to their history in this particular area, Bogaerts himself and Alex Cora both commented on the mistake after the game. Here's what Bogaerts said.
I mean, based on how the game was going, I felt like we were on second base a lot, and we kind of got stranded the whole game, and it's just a risk that I took to try to get to third, because obviously we know it's a good pitcher, and that was a mistake, and obviously, it wasn't the right decision.
Okay, so Bogaerts wants to say, look, we had guys on second. We couldn't score. I forced the issue. So you know what? Honestly, don't even give me that. Don't even give me that. Don't try to justify it in any way. This is a Little League 101 kind of play. Here's what Alex Cora said after the game about the Bogaerts decision.
Yeah, he knows. I mean, doesn't know enough, and he knows it. You know, and that bullet's right in front of him, and it's a big mistake right there.
So now, if this were a one-off thing, Fine, no problem. I guess it happens. You make a stupid mistake every now and then. Who doesn't? It's happened to all of us. Fine, you make a stupid mistake. How many times in the last month have the Red Sox run into outs at third base with the ball in front of them? There was one early in the year. You remember this? There was a ball hit to short left field. Devers was on third. Started to come home. The left fielder threw the ball behind him, and they picked him off at third base. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Holy crap, and then Devers did it just again recently on a night where I think he had four hits. It's like that guy's an adventure unto himself sometimes. Feels like Devers plays with his hair on fire sometimes. Nonetheless, Devers and Bogarts have been two of your better players. How about the game against the Dodgers last month? You remember that one? Sunday night game. Jackie Bradley's on second base. Marco Hernandez is at the plate. Nobody out. The Red Sox don't try to bunt Bradley the third for some reason. And then just like last night. Just like last night, Marco Hernandez hits a ball to the left side, and Bradley does this.
Hernandez has not attempted the bunt. On 3-2, swinging away, chops it to the left side. They get the lead runner at third.
And this is bad baseball.
I'm also shocked, though, that Jackie Bradley Jr. goes on this. I mean, this is a ball that you have to have behind you. Meaning, if that's going to get a hop, if it's going to be anything, you have to be able to beat it. By the time it gets to you, it needs to be behind you, not in front of you. No matter how fast you are, he's hosed at third base.
Hosed. They've been hosed all season. So I look it up today, because you remember a couple of years ago when the Red Sox had all those outs at the plate and on the bases, and we said, well, what is that about? And then under Cora, it started the same way. They had cleaned a lot of that up last year as the year went along. And then it started to get bad again. And you know what? It's been bad this year. The numbers aren't as bad as they were a couple of years ago, but it's been bad. Seamus is in Malden. Seamus, go.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Basically, what I wanted to say was just simply, there are risks in baseball, necessary risks. And that could be like a suicide squeeze when needed, maybe, you know, in the ninth. My biggest thing is this, is that I think that at this point, Xander should team up with Saquon Barkley and get some chirogenic therapy on those feet because he's not running correctly.
Yeah, Seamus, it wasn't Barkley. It was Antonio Brown. So, but that aside, the stupidity on the bases, that's not a physical thing. That's a mental thing. That's got nothing to do with running properly or anything like that. That's just stupidity. And I love Bogarts. I love Bogarts. I feared that Bogarts was getting to a point where he was never going to peak and never hit his real potential. But Alex Cora came in and changed that. My buddy Tom's in Quincy. Tom, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony, there's a few things about this team this year, which, you know, I've shared with you guys throughout the season. I've done everything I friggin' can to give them the benefit of the doubt on when they go through these stupid spells and whatever. I'm not willing to forgive Little League mentality base running errors. You got to be kidding me that how that game ended last night. They decide to do that when they need every effing win imaginable to keep their season alive. You're down by one. He gets the leadoff double, and that is how that ends? That is embarrassing. And I talked to Jim last week a couple times, and I know that he kind of laughed at me because he said I was too – you know, I'm too invested and I'm passionate about the Sox. I can't help but be that way. But, man, as a staunch defender of how they play in most cases, I can't defend that. That is Little League bull.
Yeah,
I do. BS.
I got you, Tom.
Well,
I got
stuff
you.
You saw under John Farrell. And the other thing, too, the other real kick in the crotch is that Tampa loses last night. As did Cleveland, so you could have gained some ground there. Like it was a perfect storm of crap how they handled that ninth inning.
Yeah, and look, the Red Sox, they don't have enough games left right now to be giving away opportunities to gain. Any night that they can gain, they need to gain. Last night they missed one. Now look, I think they're probably done. I think we all feel that way. But you just said it yourself there, Murray. And you know what? Tom and Quincy said it. That last night, that's not a big league mistake. That is like a baseball 101 mistake. And you mentioned Farrell. This was like what happened with John Farrell 2 years ago.
Very confident and strong.
I mean, the kind of crap that went on with Farrell here in his final couple of years, forgetting how many outs there were, all that kind of crap. I mean, there was one stupid mistake after the next with Farrell.
The guy that was fresh and powerful.
So if you're seeing it now, again, under a different manager who they obviously flourished under last year, I don't know. And ultimately, it's more on the players than it is them. And I was no Farrell guy. And at the end, he had to go. But boy, maybe we put too much on him in terms of this team underachieving. I think it's more.
I don't have an update for you.
Well, John, my update is it's on the players, not so much on you.
I mean, really. So this is the kind of junk that did. It went on 2 years ago when Farrell was here. Am I getting that right now? Yes.
Yeah.
2017. Boy, it feels like a lifetime ago that he was here. 2 years ago that Farrell was here. And ultimately, Farrell got fired for it. John Farrell got fired for the ineptitude of the team or the team's inability to reach its potential and, frankly, for answering questions like this.
Addison, certainly that closer B.
Okay, there's all kinds of that stuff, right? And it cost Farrell his job. Cora is not going to get fired. Alex Cora is not going to get fired. Dombrowski might, and we'll get to him here in a minute. Alex Cora is not going to get fired. And Murray, you can't help but come to the conclusion that you just came to. It wasn't Farrell. It was the players. Now, look, every once in a while, you need a kick in the ass, but I warned people earlier in the year. I warned Alex Cora, watch out for these guys. Watch out for this collection of players. They want to do the bare minimum. Pat's in Marshfield. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, Tony, this is what I called about, but Bogey, I agree that, you know, unexcusable. I believe him in Cora when he says he's just trying to do too much, you know, because he cares. But still, you got to separate that when you're a professional athlete. You got to make the right decision. But a couple of weeks ago, when I forget who they were playing, but that controversial decision when they pinch ran him and when they could have pinch hit him.
Yes.
He took off on a botched hit and run, and he froze for like a split second halfway through and looked toward the plate. You're already committed. You got to dig it out. That was a lazy play. That was a very lazy play.
Yeah, so, Pat, I remember the one you're talking about. If I remember right in that game, Vasquez tried to bunt, too, popped it up, and then Betts tried to steal and get thrown out, right? But this is the kind of stuff they've been doing all year long. It's not exclusively about the baseball. It's just being able to execute the most basic things. Running from second to third on a ball hit in front of you on the left side is suicide in the big leagues. Again, you want to try it when you're 11? Fine. There's a chance the shortstop will screw it up or that the third baseman will be picking his nose and won't cover. Those things happen all the time when you're a kid. In the big leagues, you think you're going to get away with that? Wow. Really, wow. Again, I told you, this is the type, as a fan, you tell me, what infuriates you more? The fact that they showed up with kind of a cocky attitude or the fact that they've been making mistakes like this? Running from second to third on a ball hit to the left side in the ninth inning, down one as the leadoff man after hitting a double. Holy crap, is that? That just screams, we're stupid, we don't want to play anymore. I mean, that's one that should insult you as much as anything. And remember, this goes back to early in the year. Remember the one with Mookie Betts? With the center fielder in Oakland, Laureano was gunning down Red Sox the whole series. And they were down 3 or 4 runs in the ninth inning, and Mookie tried to go first and third and get thrown out. What are you thinking? Where is your head? And that one, that part's on the manager. Again, that's Farrell-esque. These are Farrell-esque.
Got great bat-to-ball skills.
Those are Farrell-esque kinds of mistakes. Meanwhile, Dave Dombrowski is probably the one who's going to lose his job. He actually spoke with Bob Nightingale of USA Today about this, and he did a local interview today and said some interesting things. We'll tell you what those were when we came back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And we are going for it. It's just that you still have to say, I mean, it's like every year you go for it, I think, as much as you can. But somebody, I know you sent me that note. Yeah, we're in. We're all in. But the all-in is, to me, with what we have. And if you said, and I'm not going to use players' names, we'd have traded this prospect or that prospect, we could have had this player. Well, that could have happened, but we just decided we did not want to do that. And you make those decisions every year.
Dave Dombrowski, at the trade deadline, there's a lot of stuff he said lately that has absolutely driven people crazy. I mean, that one too, like, you know, we're all in. Based on what? Like, you know, so now there are degrees of all in. The whole point of the term all in means that there's no degree. We're loading up, we're going. Like, I give you the easy example. When the Cubs were trying to win their first World Series in 100-plus years, Theo Epstein overpaid for Aroldis Chapman because they needed a closer. And he said, we're all in. I mean, you know, we're going for it here. This means something. It means something. So there's a story in the last day or so here from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And Nightingale's covered baseball a long time, knows a lot of people, and feels like he has a relationship with Dave Dombrowski. And there were comments in here from Dombrowski talking about his job security in Boston. And the report that goes back a couple of weeks now, Dan Shaughnessy in the Boston Globe said that he would be, quote unquote, he wrote this, I will be shocked, that's the word he used, shocked, if Dave Dombrowski is back as president of baseball operations next year. And he listed Eddie Romero as a candidate to replace Dombrowski. We had Dan on the show. We asked him point blank, and I don't think it was just reckless speculation. In fact, Shaughnessy admitted it was informed speculation. So he got some indication from somebody in the inside there that Dombrowski is done. Nightingale asked Dombrowski about it, and after saying that he didn't want to talk too much about it, Dombrowski said, this is a tough market. It's been known as that. Growing up in this game, I was always told there are three markets that are different than anywhere else. Boston, New York, and Philly, and it's probably lived up to be true. If you don't have thick skin, you're not going to survive in this game. You won't survive in this market. He also did go on to say that he was surprised. I don't want to say too much about it, Dombrowski said, but I am surprised. At least a little bit. I mean, we did win three divisions in a World Series. So there's Dombrowski saying, look, you know, my resume is out there. You know my resume. Look at my resume. This guy loves to give you his resume. Holy crap. And so, you know, if you were to ask me, does Dave Dombrowski deserve to be fired? My answer is probably not, if you look at the body of work. But if you're asking me going forward, is he the right man for the job? My answer is probably no. Because I think the Red Sox need a different kind of GM now. And the thing that may have put me over the top of Dombrowski is this injury to Chris Sale. And then Dombrowski is going to sit at his press conference over the weekend and say this absolutely happened on Tuesday. Again, all in the interest of protecting his own ass. As if to say, nope, this injury is new. There was no way to justify that contract. No way. The signing Chris Sale in the spring was dumb. Some of us said it at the time. It was dumb. They should have waited. Sale clearly wanted to be here because he was willing to sign early and for a deal that was not totally outrageous. He got less than David Price. So he wanted to work with the team on it. If it meant pissing him off, I think he would have come back. Now, again, there's no way to know, but boy, did they make the wrong call on that one. Mike's in Wakefield. Mike, go ahead.
Tony, how you doing, man? Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
All right, awesome. So now my knowledge of baseball is sports radio. That's all I know about baseball. I hate baseball. I don't watch it. But Dan Kennedy kind of confirmed my theory on the whole thing the other day when he said it himself. We were paying Chris Sale for his character, for his leadership, for his work ethic, and the example that he sets in that clubhouse. And that was my theory behind it, too. I think that this is an issue that sort of really pisses off fans and people like yourself from the outside. But I think internally, they kind of knew about Chris Sale's elbow before they signed him.
Mike, there's no way they would have signed him if they thought his arm was going to blow up.
Well, see, the thing is, it's my personal theory that most baseball teams sign these contracts with players with the expectation that they might lose a year out of them, whether it's them getting old at the end of the contract, getting injured sometime, you know, in the middle of the contract, or something like this, where they kind of had an idea that Chris Sale might end up being injured the next season, and that he's sort of made out of paper mache mainly because of his delivery.
Okay, so Mike, listen, I generally agree with what you're saying, which is that when you sign a free agent or you sign a player to big time dollars for an extended period of time, you know you're not going to get the full deal on it. But let me ask you, he's 30 years old. He'll be 31 next March. Okay, so the deal starts next year. So how many teams do you think would sign a 31-year-old pitcher with a questionable delivery to a 5-year deal, knowing that in the first year he was going to blow his arm out before he even threw a pitch?
I think only teams that can afford it, like the Red Sox.
Okay, and my answer would be none of them. None of them. Nobody would do it, not with a 31-year-old. Now, you want to tell me the guy's 26, then we have a different discussion. Fine, I'll take the bullet in year one, and then we'll see what he's like in the final four. A 31-year-old with a delivery like that? No way. No way. And this is just where I disagree with you. The Red Sox are saying now they signed him for his character. It's an element. He's a competitive guy. I think he's a good team guy. It's an element in why they signed him. But injured players, if he needs Tommy John, and you should read Shaughnessy today, because Brandon Workman had the same thing basically that Chris Sale did, and 2 months after they gave him the injection, he had Tommy John. So Sale's not out of the woods here yet. If he has Tommy John, you think Chris Sale's going to be in the clubhouse every day and there for all the games? And do you think he's going to go on the road trips? Because usually they don't bring guys on the DL on the road. Not if they have no chance of playing. So typically they leave those guys behind. And I would tell you, you can't lead if you're hurt. If you're not healthy and active and a part of it, you're going to stand in front of the other guys in the clubhouse and you're going to say, guys, here's what we're doing wrong. They're going to look at you and say, what do you know? You're hurt. You haven't been out there. Paul's in Quincy. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. Just want to comment on Xander going to third last night. you guys often talk about this year the Sox being coming in with a cocky attitude in light of what they did last year. And here they run off 5 in a row. You know, Xander gets a great double to lead off. I just think if they're mentally locked in, you know, he doesn't go to third in that. They don't have that focus, like you say, because of what they've done. You know, they've got so much talent, they can run off some wins. But I just want to see what you have to say about the you know, their lack of mental focus. You know, that running over.
Paul,
coming off here.
Yeah, Paul. Paul, tell you what. There's no question. There's no question. And that's been an issue all year. Like, instinctively, I would want to say, okay, well, here you go. You got 40 games to go, whatever the number is, 36 games to go. You've got to make up 6 games in the standings. You need to take chances now, and you need to be borderline reckless because you have to win games. So, fine. You want to tell me that's what that was last night? Great. Except that why did they do it a month ago against the Dodgers or 6 weeks ago against the Dodgers? Why did they do it early in the year against Oakland? Like, they've really run into some stupid outs this year. I just picked 3 off the top of my head, and I could probably give you 5 or 6. Like, those are really stupid plays. And those are the ones that drive me crazy, because they're just, it's not even baseball 101. Like, to call it baseball 101 is insulting. You're on second base, 3-2 game. You just let off with a double. A ground ball to the left side, you're going to try to go to third? Are you stupid? Like, those are the ones that send me into orbit, because they're just insulting. They're so bad, they're insulting, mistakes like that. And I tell you, on Dombrowski, as it pertains to Chris Sale, I'm not giving him any latitude there. He knew he was taking a chance. And the other thing is Dombrowski's history. He likes big-name pitchers who throw hard. He likes big-name players with power. He signs them all to these long deals, and he does not have any concern at all whatsoever about injury. Look at the pitchers he signed here. Drew Pomeranz, elbow issue, to the point where the trade almost got reversed. Tyler Thornburg, his arm blew up. Carson Smith, who had a questionable delivery, his arm blew up. Chris Sale, his elbow and shoulder now are frying, and he had a questionable delivery when he got hit. Dombrowski does not care about guys with injuries. Nathan Eovaldi, two Tommy John surgeries, and he gave him $17 million a year. The guy will spend everyone else's money like it's nobody's business. So I don't know how you defend it. They're not paying for the leadership of Sale. They're paying for his arm. And if he can't pitch, he can't lead. And on top of it, they mishandled Sale this year, and I think now they're admitting it. We'll tell you how after Murray gets you caught up in headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox wrap up this two-game series in Philadelphia tonight over at Fenway Park. They lost game 1-3-2 last night. Tonight, it's going to be Rick Porcello on the mound going up against Philly's lefty Drew Smyly. First pitch coming up at 7:10. More baseball news. Jeff Passan of ESPN reporting the use of gas station sexual enhancement pills in baseball is so prevalent that Major League Baseball sent out a memo warning players that their use could lead to positive PED tests. To the NFL, Jets linebacker Brandon Copeland has been suspended by the league for four games for violating the NFL substance abuse policy. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network says sources tell him at this point, Chargers running back Melvin Gordon's holdout is expected to continue into the season. Contract talks have not progressed as he hoped. He will continue to train in Florida for the foreseeable future. Arizona Cardinals have cut wide receiver Kevin White. He was the seventh overall pick in 2015, selected by the Chicago Bears. And the Bruins and head coach Bruce Cassidy have begun talking about a contract extension to keep Cassidy behind the Boston bench beyond the 2019-20 season. That from The Athletic's Joe McDonald. Headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. Seafood Lovers Weekend is Thursday through Sunday. Get an 8-ounce New York strip paired with grilled shrimp and fresh local scallops. The 99, always the real deal. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update at 7.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What is he doing? That had to have been some of the worst base running I have ever seen. What was he thinking?
It's time for the Baseball Reporters' base running blunders.
Ground ball, he's trying to advance. Here's the throw to third, the tag, and he is out.
Oh, no, Xander, no, no.
Running mistake by Xander Bogaerts with a ground ball to left side. Cora thinking about challenging.
Big mistake here. You're in scoring position. The ball is in front of you. You know the shortstop's going to go to third base. You can't go. It's got to be either directly at you or to your left. So a big, big base running mistake there by Bogaerts.
No, you can't play that one enough. You want to talk about the kind of play that is emblematic of the 2019 Red Sox season, and there are a lot of them. But that one, that's up there. Man on second, you get a leadoff double in the ninth, down 3-2. And if you win that game last night, oh boy, that's a steal. That's a steal, really. Brian Johnson against Aaron Nola, you're down 3-0 in the top of the first. Bradley hits a two-run homer, you get it to 3-2. Bogaerts leads off the ninth with a double, and you're thinking, my gosh, they might actually pull this out. The bullpen gives you a good night on top of it all, and then Bogaerts goes. The irony is he's been hitting. Bogaerts been playing well lately. Which brings us to the Rodenheiser Heat Zone, brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric, serving Metroettes for over 90 years. Xander Bogaerts, he's your Rodenheiser Heat Zone guy. Eight-game hit streak, 361, six extra base hits, seven ribbies, OPS over 1,000. Of course, it doesn't include a really stupid base running mistake. I'm going to get back to Dave Dombrowski in a minute, but first let's bring in Cam and Lowell. Cam, what do you got?
Hey, Tony. I've been anti-Dombrowski since he came in. I think since the Shaughnessy article, you guys have said, well, he's done what he was supposed to do, you know. You can't blame him for that. Well, any person who works their way up through a system and becomes an MLB GM could do the moves that he did with a blank checkbook for somebody else's money and a relatively well-stocked farm system. Anybody could have done that.
So, look, Cam, I generally agree with you. I think Dombrowski's overrated. Okay, I think he's overrated. Now, look, he's got relationships in the game. He's been around. So I don't know. Does that help you sign players? For example, does David Price come here if Dombrowski's not here? I don't know. I mean, maybe if someone else offers him $217 million, maybe, probably. But I also think that Dombrowski had acquired him once before, and maybe there was, you know, so I don't want to get into too many variables. And last year, midseason, Steve Pearce and Eovaldi were both good moves. The mistake was in re-signing them. That's the mistake. JK's in Winthrop. Go ahead, JK. Hello, JK, you there? All right. Well, you know what? We're just going to drop him. If he's not ready to go. You do have an open line or two, 617-779-0985. But I want to get back to some of the stuff Dombrowski said today, particularly as it relates to Chris Sale, and that's what I thought the last call was about. So Dombrowski did an interview today with our competitors on the midday program, and he was asked about Chris Sale and the program the Red Sox had him on to start the season. And to me, this is an important thing. Now, again, we're assuming that Dombrowski is gone. But regardless, the Red Sox have an issue with Dombrowski going forward, even if he does avoid surgery. The question now is, how do you get him through the season? Dombrowski was asked about the program with Sale and with the pitchers. He said, and I quote, "You always have to be careful, because I think it's proven that if a pitcher is tired, they're more apt to be susceptible to injury. One of the things we had talked about is being in a situation where we tried to prevent injuries, which is really the thought process there. But the guy still got hurt. I think all in all, it'll be something that we'll sit back and assess. And I wouldn't be surprised if we go into next spring a little bit different," meaning they are going to change it. "An acknowledgement that what they did with the pitchers didn't work." You really got hit on both ends. So think of it. With Sale, they backed him off so much at the beginning that he sucked at the beginning of the year, and he still got hurt, and you don't have him for the end. So last year, at least you had him for the first half. This year, you didn't get him for either. And on top of it, Eovaldi got hurt. Price has missed some time. They've had injuries, really, you know, not big ones. Eovaldi was the only significant one, and now Sale. And Sale's really the big one, because he's the guy that you need at the end of the year, and he faded. So I thought the approach with Sale was wrong out of the gate. To me, what they should have done with Sale, you can't just give away the games at the beginning of the year. They didn't anticipate that he was going to be that bad, but he wasn't ready to go. So to me, what I would do with Sale, and I said this from day one, do what you did with Pedro, do what you did with Lester. Now, Lester's a durable guy. Again, compare the size of his ass to Sale's. You want to see a pitcher's power and durability, where it comes from. Lester, his lower half is huge. Huge. Sale is a stick figure out there. He's made out of popsicle sticks and toothpicks, for crying out loud. Totally different guy. And with Lester, they gave him a break in the middle of the year. Do the same thing. Do what you did with Pedro. Give him a month off. June 30th, shut him down. Don't bring him back till the end of July. I mean, really, that's how you have to do it with these guys. Don't shorten the season. Give them two short seasons. That's the way I would do it. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they go that route with Sale next year. Also, with regard to the pitching philosophy that Shaughnessy column that we have cited here, Shaughnessy has said that he thinks Dombrowski is gone and that pitching coach Dana Lemanji is also gone. On a personal note, I'm disappointed by that. I'm not surprised, but on a personal note, I covered Dana. I saw him come up through the organization. You know, I like Dana, so I hate to see something bad happen to him. At the same time, when the pitchers have the kind of year they had, where do you think they're going to turn? And Brian Johnson said something when he came off the mound last night that I want to get to in the next segment. But quickly, Mike and Waltham. Go ahead, Mike. You got to be fast.
Tony Maz, just wanted to talk to you. I talked to you with the Belmont Post Office one day, and we talked about Giancarlo Stanton. I'm so glad we didn't get him. He's a stiff. He's A-Rod the second. And B, you got a bunt last night. It's the ninth, and you got to play for the tie. I don't even know who was up. I don't care who was up. You got to get him the third and hope for a fly ball. And once you tie the game, then you play. It's the philosophy of, like, letting the, like,
Mike,
and out.
Yeah, Mike, I'm going to stop you there because, first of all, two things. Number one is nobody bunts anymore. And even so, I would agree with you if it were someone else at the plate. It was J.D. Martinez. You're not taking the bat out of that guy's hands. You're just not. So that one there, to me, that guy's going to hit. Bogart shouldn't have run. I mean, let's not confuse the issue. You let Martinez hit because Bogart is already in scoring position. Martinez hits one out of the ballpark. They're game over. You win. So you got to let him hit. Bogart did not have to run. I mean, that was stupid. I'll tell you what Brian Johnson said after the game last night. That kind of drove me crazy a little bit. Not that should surprise you. Little things tend to drive me crazy, in case you haven't figured that out, particularly as it pertains to the Red Sox. We'll tell you what that was when we come back.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-1 first with a dagger. It's not something you want to do, but you know, I was hoping to make adjustments quicker than that, but you know, obviously I didn't.
It's Brian Johnson. Red Sox starter from last night gave up three in the first inning. It's hard to get too mad at Johnson, given what his role is. I mean, again, he was in the game for, I think, less than four innings last night and actually settled down after the first, kept the Red Sox in the game. They played their way back into it. And Johnson is only pitching because other guys have failed or they're hurt or, you know, Andrew Cashner has sucked and Sale is out and Price is out and... So this is another reason why they're not going to come back and make the playoffs is because they're just too many issues, which should also tell you something, by the way. I don't know. I always think it's interesting when a team that is fading starts coming up with injuries. And you saw with the Red Sox pitching staff, boy, that happened fast. They lost the eight in a row. Price went on the DL. Sale went on the DL. Like, all of a sudden, guys started dropping like flies. So now we'll see. You know, these guys are coming back in theory, or at least Price should be. So we'll see how that shakes out. But Johnson did say something after the game last night that drove me crazy, and not that I'm angry at him. But I was reading today, and I can't remember where I saw it. I think it was in the Globe. From the second inning through two outs in the fourth, he allowed just two hits after he gave up four hits in the first inning. Most importantly, he held the Phillies scoreless in that span. True. He did. He stabilized and kept them in the game. And then this is what Johnson said. I threw more fastballs inside after the first inning, he means. I went and kind of switched up the game plan real quick with Christian and Dana. Christian is Christian Vasquez, the catcher. Dana is Dana Lavangi, the pitching coach. So the game plan going in was not to throw fastballs into Philadelphia. Clearly the game plan was something else. And this is what has driven me crazy about Red Sox pitchers this year. And you see this a lot now in the game. Not pitching to a traditional formula. Staying away from areas that could hurt you, even though they are more traditional methods of pitching. And what I'm saying that is the left-handers who are effective historically at Fenway Park are guys that are going to come in hard. Now, look, Johnson isn't a guy that throws 96 miles an hour. But if you want Brian Johnson's curveball to be effective and his off-speed to be effective, you got to throw some fastballs inside to keep hitters honest. You just do. And if you're nibbling, my point is you got to be aggressive. You can't be passive and try to pitch ass backwards all the time. And I feel like the Red Sox this year have spent way too much time pitching ass backwards, and that is a reflection on the pitching coach and the philosophy. And so if Dana Lavangi gets fired or reassigned, as Dan Shaughnessy has alluded to in his column a couple of weeks ago, it's hard to argue with that one given the way the pitching went this year. I have a hard time going to town on Dana because I like him. And so I'm just trying to be honest with you to tell you where I'm coming from. But the pitching coach is on the table. JK's in Winthrop. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you, fellas?
I'm good. How are you?
I'll make it very simple and easy for you tonight. Give me $50,000 and an Eldorado, and I'll tell you what's really bothering Sealy.
Chris Sale, you mean, but go ahead.
Yeah, Chris Sale.
Okay, what is it?
When a pitcher pitches three quarters or from the side, the blood goes to the elbow.
Okay, JK, I'm going to let you go. Okay, the Sale's delivery is not anything new. Chris Sale's delivery is not anything new. From the day he started pitching, people have predicted an arm injury for him because of the violence of the delivery. And again, I said this yesterday. Look at the still photos of him online. I'm not sure that guy has a laptop, but Google it. Google Chris Sale delivery. And you'll find images of him delivering the ball to the plate with the ball behind, basically back behind his ear, and his forearm is parallel to the ground. I don't know how he gets that arm, his arm in that position over and over again, and A, throws strikes the way he does, and B, has avoided injury till now. I have no idea how he pulls that off, but he does. So, but he was a time bomb. And then he had an injury last year, even though it was his shoulder, and the Red Sox still gave him 5 years and $145 million. They showed no trepidation in giving him that contract at all. None. And they should have waited. What is astounding about the Red Sox is how they continue to do exactly the opposite of what you think they should do. And they get everything ass backwards. John Lester was a pitcher they should have invested in because he had succeeded here and he's built to last and he had a good delivery. And they lowballed him and pissed him off and ended up having to trade him. Sale, who has a violent delivery, is built with basically, picture wire and some tape. Him, after he had an injury, they gave him 5 years and 145. I mean, again, it's astonishing. They do the ass backwards thing every time. Amazing. Before we get to Adam Jones, time for the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years, Big Y. Tonight, one matchup. It's pretty basic, pretty simple. Bryce Harper against Rick Porcello. And if you hear him, start to chuckle. Surprise, surprise. You want to share it with the listeners, Murray? You want to?
I don't have it in front of me.
No, but the point is it's in Porcello's favor.
Yeah, surprisingly. When I saw it, I was like, what? This can't be real, but it is.
0-7, three strikeouts. 0-7, three strikeouts.
Sounds like somebody's due.
Now let me ask you, Murray, if you were betting tonight, who would you bet on?
Oh, Phillies.
Harper.
Yeah, and Harper, too.
I looked this up. Harper in his last 12 games, seven homers, OPS over 1,200. He had an RBI double last night. I still like Harper in that matchup. Adam Jones, what do you got?
Ooh, we're going to, we'll keep our eyes on the Red Sox. Not really, though. We pledged last night to not pay attention to the Red Sox until their winning streak hit double digits. And, ooh, shucks. Ended at 5 last night against Philadelphia with some wonderful base running.
Good finish last night.
In the ninth inning. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful wrap-up to that game. We're going to start with a preseason game tomorrow night. How much stock should we put in the dress rehearsal game for the Patriots against the Carolina Panthers? Tom Brady, I'd imagine, is out there on the field. Will Demaryius Thomas be out there? Will Sony Michel be out there? Jacoby Myers has looked really good in the preseason. Will he play with Brady? How will he look with Brady? And we'll get to all of that.
Okay. I'm interested in some of that stuff. I have to be honest. Jim Murray has your headlines. Jones and I can't have you for the rest of the night. We'll see you tomorrow.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
And
And that hollow Red Sox five-game winning streak came to a halt last night. They lose 3-2 to the Phillies at Fenway Park. They had a chance to tie in the ninth. Xander Bogaerts thrown out at third. Pinch runner Chris Owings doubled off first to end the game. Tonight, Red Sox wrap up the two-game series with Rick Porcello on the mound going up against Phillies lefty Drew Smyly. First pitch, 7:10. More baseball news. Jeff Passan of ESPN has the news that use of gas station sexual enhancement pills in baseball is so prevalent that Major League Baseball has sent out a memo warning players their use could lead to positive PED tests. In NFL news, Jets linebacker Brandon Copeland suspended by the league for 4 games for violating the substance abuse policy. Ian Rapoport of NFL Network says sources tell him at this point Chargers running back Melvin Gordon's holdout expected to continue into the season. Contract talks have not progressed as he hoped. He'll continue to train in Florida for the foreseeable future. Arizona Cardinals have cut wide receiver Kevin White. White was the 7th overall pick in 2015, selected by the Chicago Bears, but had dealt with a myriad of injuries over his career. Headlines are brought to you by Pride Chevrolet. Don't miss the biggest savings of the year right now during the Pride Chevrolet All-Star Open House. Find new roads to Pride Chevrolet on the Linway in Lynn or go to pridechevy.com. That's pridechevy.com. I'm Jim Murray from Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 of Sports Home. Christian Arcan's got you next at 7:30.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Gather fast with your friends.
Mrs. Jones.
Adam Pac-Man Jones is once again in trouble with the law.
Jones was arrested today after an incident downtown.
Giving you his take on the day in sports, it's Adam Jones on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.